We have with us right now Councilmember Debbie Rose of Staten Island, who also was quite upset at the when the ruling came down. And I'd like to welcome you, Councilmember Debbie Rose of Staten Island.
Good morning.
Well, share your reflections, please, with us. And you were quite upset at the decision as well.
I was shocked. I was shocked and profoundly disappointed and angry. I thought that for once we would have the opportunity to correct a major injustice that had happened. I couldn't believe that with video, we still were not able to indict a police officer for overly aggressive policing and consequently the murder of Eric Garner.
Yes, it was very shocking to some and not so to others. Have you heard anything from your constituents out there in Staten Island? What have they shared with you?
I have heard from many of my constituents, and just this morning I got a text from a constituent that just said, "I'm afraid." And she's afraid for her children. She's afraid that with as much documentation as there was about this event, that we were not able to get a true bill. You know, and so for me, it is, you know, no true bill, no true justice. How is it that we are advocating as a city government for body cameras, and the very incident of Eric Garner was captured
right
on video? And even with that, we have been sold a bill of goods that we didn't really see what we saw, and that there was no gross misjustice that happened.
Well, one thing I'd like to suggest is that, you know, one of the problems we have is that we should have maybe a broken windows policy towards policemen, because we have very ineffectual civilian complaint review boards, so that when smaller complaints come up about police officers, they're virtually ignored. And maybe this leads to police officers acting with impunity more because, you know, not even the smaller complaints are heard effectively.
Well, I totally agree with you. I believe that it's an issue of accountability, because this particular police officer had more than one complaint about
exactly
overly aggressive policing. And I think that the New York City Police Department has missed the opportunity to hold bad acting police officers accountable. They should be taken off of the street. They shouldn't be allowed to be on the force and continue with the overly aggressive policing. Because if you get away with this once, twice, and in the case of Pantaleo, multiple times, where is the signal that that it's wrong, that it can't be done? And so in my 120th precinct, we have 7 out of 10 of New York City's worst bad-acting police officers. And they're still in the street policing the community. There's something grossly wrong with that. And my conversations with the police commissioner are about accountability. And I believe that if they use the same standard that they use in all the other communities, which is supposed to be courtesy, professionalism, and respect, if they use that same standard in communities of color and poor communities, then this would not be an issue.
Mm. Council Member Debbie Rose of Staten Island, I think the respect goes out the window when we're talking about communities of color here in New York City. And I wanted to ask you, Debbie Rose, about the federal prosecutor's role before I bring Jared Murphy and Les Payne back in to ask them the same questions. What is your perception about the federal prosecutor's role in this going forward?
I'm actually glad that there is the opportunity to have the federal prosecutor come in. I know the family asked for that early on in this case because of the fact that they had no confidence in Staten Island's ability to actually bring an indictment. And so I do know that the federal courts were monitoring this process, and I was really glad to see that they, from Eric Holder, said that, yes, this is a case that they will come in. And they will look at the civil rights violations that took place. And it is my hope that they are able to bring charges against this officer.
Thank you for that, Debbie Rose. Les Payne, is it likely that the family of Eric Garner will be getting justice from the federal prosecutor's role in this?
Well, one can always hope, and we've seen it piddle around before, but I think that what has happened in New York, when you look at the long picture, is that the killing of African Americans by police in this city over the last few decades that I've been watching as a newspaper person and as a father of two sons, black African American sons, mm-hmm. is that these policemen are not indicted for killing these youngsters. The family will sue over time. They will get somewhere between $2 and $3 million. That is the bounty that New York places on the heads of African-American youngsters in this town. I want to go to one point about fear that the Councilwoman Rose raised, and she was saying that one of her constituents voiced fear. I think fear, again, is at the heart of it with these police officers. For instance, when you look at Darren Wilson out there, what he said was he looked at Michael Brown and said he saw the Incredible Hulk. Mm-hmm. Coming at him, and we heard similar kind of though not in the same term, description used for Eric Garner. Right. And what I would say is that we get these police officers who are in the normal course intimidated, frightened, fearful of African American males, and they look at if that had been you talked about that earlier, I think East Orange case where they achieved an arrest when someone who had shot at police.
Yes.
When they look at for people of their own kind, they would look at say a Michael Brown and an Eric Garner, and instead of seeing an Incredible Hulk, they would probably see the Pillsbury Doughboy, someone that they can talk to and reason with. But they look at when they look at him being an African American, he's the Incredible Hulk. And when I looked at either one of them, I did not. And even if you look at that fear aspect, there is no way you can tell anyone who is reasonable that those four police officers standing around Eric Garner felt that their life was in danger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And therefore they had to use deadly force, which is to say that illegal chokehold.
Yeah, I have a son. I have two sons myself, Les, and over the holidays I was with one of them, and he told me about, it's very, innocent-seeming a stop by a police officer, and the police officer, stopped him and said, I just wanted to see who was coming through my town. And, my heart sank because, he's beyond my protection. He's a grown man. But this
they do that
fear.
Routinely on Long Island.
Yeah.
In fact, there are friends out there on Long Island where my wife and I raised our two sons, where some of their white friends suggest that when you come visit, let the white buddy drive the car so you won't get stopped. And
no.
Lord Harbor and many, many, many of these Long Island communities.
Let me just jump in on the federal prosecution question. I wouldn't, I don't want to predict what's going to happen, but I wouldn't hold out too much hope for that. If you remember, that was contemplated in the Sean Bell case, and the feds didn't bring charges. It was thought about after the four officers in the Diallo case were acquitted in the state trial. And I actually just found the article now, and the U.S. attorney said they couldn't bring that because they could not prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the officers willfully deprived Diallo of his constitutional right to be free from the use of unreasonable force. So there's an element of intent in there. It did obviously occur, I guess, most famously in the Rodney King case, and ended up with two of those officers in L.A. being charged, and actually all four were charged and two were convicted. But it's a pretty rare thing for the feds actually to bring the charges.
Thank you, Jerry Murphy. Before we go back to Debbie Rose, Councilmember Debbie Rose of Staten Island, Jared, what are you following right now in citylimits.org as we wrap this segment up?
Well, we're going to be looking, obviously, at the protests tonight to see, you know, what they look like and also how they're policed. It did seem like last week the New York City Police handled the protests fairly well, and I think they've, you know, they've a lot more training than obviously the people in Ferguson had. So we'll see how that plays out, and that's mainly what we'll be looking at over the next couple of days. And also, it's worth noting that this week the mayor put out a big report about mental health issues in the criminal justice system. And, you know, interactions between police and communities and trying to reduce the number of people that end up being arrested, which is, I think, part of this topic as well. So that's something we're looking a little more closely at.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for that, Jerry Murphy. And Debbie Rose, you had a final comment we wanted to wind up with you this morning.
I just wanted to say that we on Staten Island, that we are going to stand together. We're going to stay strong, and that we're going to be in this for as long as it takes for Eric Garner's family to have justice. You know, we feel like justice was denied, and we are not going to stop, and we are not going to be silenced, and we're not going to allow for this injustice to go unfettered.